Let me give you a cautionary tale of Israel and its application to us. I'm calling it two extremes and Jesus in the center. The idea of not varying off the path that Christ gives us. You can go one way or the other. They're both leaving the path. So a cautionary lesson from Israel's history. Let me take you back to the time when Solomon built the first temple. God was pleased with it. God had counseled him through it, given him wisdom, the ability to do, and God endorsed it with fire. 2 Chronicles 7:1. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering. That's what burnt it. and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the house. This seems to appear like smoke and light, but it's intense enough that nobody can go into the temple when that glory of the Lord was shining. When Solomon's dedication to God wavered later on, he fell into the arms of many women who were of other nations, and they said, "I just so miss going to worship my dear God Moloch and burn some children. I just miss that." And he'd say, "Oh, I'll build it for you." So he began to explore and honor the other gods, building interesting shrines to them, taking it on as a challenge of building and seeing something new and different. But as God knew, Israel fell into ever more extreme ways. This is why when the Babylonian captivity was come, Jeremiah says to them in Jeremiah 10:2, "Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen." The thing about studying other religions, there's a way that you can do it, but you have to stand firmly in Christianity. You have to stand firmly in the Bible to see the other religions. You will not see them correctly unless you're standing in the truth of Christ. When most of these people write comparative religion books, they're just saying, pretty much all the same, Christianity and devil worship and, you know, pretty much all the same. So God says to us, don't be so curious about this, to learn the way of the heathen, the way of life, you see. And be not dismayed at the signs of heaven. What are the signs of heaven? Have you heard of the zodiac signs? Yeah. That goes way back to Babylon. They had a little different from what we see today. But looking at, there's an omen in the skies, and we can't do that. We dare not go to battle on this day, and so on. He says, for the heathen are dismayed at them. In other words, their superstition, their false religion, leads them into fear, and they become dismayed by something they see in the sky. Yet, with God telling them that, yet evil priests and false prophets brought popular idols into the house of the Lord, into the holy place, into the place where God says it should be reserved only for me. While the priests allowed the idols and borrowed worship, so the people imitated the lifestyle of the heathen. Religion reflects life, and life reflects your religion. Again, Jeremiah 7:11, "Is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord." I didn't pass over that. I didn't miss that. I caught what you're doing, see. So what's going on here? Well, God was forsaken, so he forsook the temple. And he called, rallied up. I think he raised up Nebuchadnezzar, who was made king just just before they brought them all down into Babylonian captivity. His father died. He forsook God, forsook the temple by allowing the Babylonians to destroy it. And they carried the temple treasures and the objects away to Babylon. If you are going to misuse, misrepresent that which should be lifting God up before the people, he'll take it away. So let me ask you to notice the application for us today. What do we have to do with temples, right? Well, look at 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 17. We'll see it in a minute there. Okay, right there. Notice the application. Okay, 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 17. Know ye not, he says to the Christians, ye are the temple of God. Ye is the plural you. All of you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. It's an interesting concept because with Solomon's temple, God made sure he did not think that God was going to live there. He said, well, Solomon, let me tell you, my seat is, I'm sitting in heaven, and I kind of kick earth over and cross my feet on it. It's my footstool. So how big is this house that you're going to make for me? Think I'll fit? When he's dedicating it, he said, this is not where God is going to live, because even heaven and the heaven of heavens can't contain him. One of the old theologians asked, wait a minute, if even the heaven of heavens he's greater than that, where is the rest of him? Where do you go after you leave heaven and earth? Well, he exists and he created the universe. So he's bigger or outside the universe. For the Jew, a temple was not where God lived, but represented God and was a place of his worship. But Paul is writing here to the Corinthians. These were Greeks, and their idea of temples, the pagan temples, were different. This is where the spirit of the idols lived. The gods would inhabit these places. And so he applies that to them. You are the temples, and the Spirit of God dwells in you. You see? If any man defile or destroy the temple of God, which is your body, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. So you are holy. Don't bring into that the things of the devil, the false gods, the pagan way of life. Many local churches began with strong evangelism, weeping over sin. Congregations showed love and devotion and prayer and the willingness to sacrifice. They followed the pattern of the early church in the book of Acts. They honored God, they fed on his word, and God worked through them. But as the culture around them changed, the people became superficial rather than deep and wanted sermons filled not with the Word of God but with exciting performances. Minor things of the church service became the main things. The main things just became minor things. So they forsook the Word of God. And what happened? As with the first temple, God forsook that temple. God forsook them. More and more, they accepted the world's path and popular sins. Popular things of the people. Peter speaks out about this. 1 Peter 1:14. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Not fashioning yourself back to the way you were before you were saved. Not acting like unsaved people. There's a difference. There should be a difference. There should be the person who follows you secretly all day and takes notes of what you do and what you don't do, should at the end of the day be able to write down they don't act like regular people. They're different. They don't do what most people do, and they do things that most people don't do. They're different. So, let us learn from this story not to fall off God's path on the worldly side. Go to the world, bring the world into the church. Let's not do that. But what happened after the Babylonian captivity? Well, they learned the lesson. Israel learned the lesson. They never again were guilty of gross idolatry. They became a one-God demand. But they fell off on the other side. They were so far from the worldly side, they fell off the road on the other side. A second evil replaced idolatry. They fell into rule by tradition. They established good ways, and they said, to do the good ways, we will do it this way. And finally they said, we're doing it this way because we've always done it this way. You see? When the scribes and Pharisees lost true heart devotion, they leaned on physical traditions, rituals. By doing this, they elevated tradition over the Word of God. They lost the sense of obeying God and said, this is the way we do it. This error led them to reject the very Son of God. They criticized him for healing people on the Sabbath day. He said, are you kidding me? On the Sabbath, you'll go down into a ditch and lift your donkey out of it and say you were okay. But I lift this person out of his illness and you condemn me? They closed themselves off from the changing that he called for, that he commanded. He said, repent, change the way you think. They said, no, we have our traditions. Listen to Mark 7, 8, and 9. He says to them, for laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the traditions of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many such other like things ye do. They're really busy about that. And it's not like that was a sin. It says, but that was as good as it got, you see, their tradition of ritual washing. And he said unto them, full well ye reject, or King James says, or frustrate, the commandment of God. You are rejecting, or you are frustrating the purpose of the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. You can fall off the road by tradition without becoming worldly. The result was ultimately similar to the first temple. The Jews then, their temple became a den of thieves again. Matthew 21:13, Christ says, he said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves, just like Jeremiah said. They were just as bad, but for a different reason. We find that Jesus spent several days in the temple on that last week, the triumphal entry. He spent several days there. He would come every day, be there, would heal people. He sat teaching them. This was like the millennium. He was giving them a taste of the kingdom. Here he was in residence, basically, at the temple. People were coming, being healed. People were coming and hearing the truth, understanding the wisdom of God. But then he left. He walked out of the temple. And in fact, he left the temple. He went toward the Mount of Olives just as the glory of God departed, we read in Ezekiel, left the first temple. It went out and rested upon the Mount of Olives, and then went on. This time, Rome's invasion destroyed the temple. Again, the temple was destroyed, not for bringing worldliness in it, but by abandoning the heartfelt worship. Interestingly, the historians tell us that this happened when that temple was destroyed by Rome during Rome's invasion. There's some question who'd actually destroyed it. The Roman general said we were going to leave it, but the people tore it down. People that said they'd poured gold in between the bricks and just tear it down, we'll get the gold. So they were that far away from God. But anyway, it got destroyed because of the Roman destruction. And it happened on the anniversary of the destruction of the first temple. If God was saying, does this ring a bell? Do you understand that you fell off on the worldly side? Now you fell off on the tradition side? So how about us? Well, today some churches fail because of a lack of pursuit of the Word of God. It's not about, I mean, the true goal is not building a huge company, building a huge business. It's about the quality of what you put into the building. The pursuit of the Word of God. They have taken to imitating the practices of the world. It's a worldly business model. The cry against God's call to repentance is, no, we have always done it this way. What's that? It's tradition. They become unprepared for new life. They become unprepared for revival. They stand proud of being faithful. But this was what the Pharisees claimed, and they were wrong. Romans 12:2, listen to this call. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. And so the world could be talking about worldliness, but being conformed to this world would be conformed to the way you handle the world. Tradition. Be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. By thinking differently. Conform your thinking to God's way. That you may prove, put to the test, and prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, let me just say, let us determine, let us be resolved to forbid the world's ways as our standard. And let us determine to stay open to God's call to newness of life. Have we stopped needing to grow? Have we stopped needing to become more and more like Christ? No, we have not. So let us open ourselves to God's call to change.